Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have seen the second Shang-Chi trailer, and it is time to talk about this trailer, break it down frame by frame. Let's get into it. All that right off the ad we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll, and in our second chair today, we have the wonderful Brian V. Klein. How you doing, Brian?
Good. That was such an awesome trailer, and can't wait to talk about it.
Dude, it really is. I had to work all weekend, and as the people can hear, Jeff and Ashley were both busy all weekend and still tonight, so I was like, let's get our good friend BVK over here, and let's talk about this trailer a little bit so that we don't go any longer without doing it. So, what do you think? What did you think of this trailer in general?
Loved it. It's Shang-Chi is one of those characters. I'm pretty well versed in a lot of the stuff that's Marvel, but I'm not too deep into his character. So seeing the trailer and the new little things that were added to it just makes me more. I mean, Marvel and MCU especially has that ability to just get you, you know, intrigued and pumped for with just the littlest things. And this trailer has a bunch of little things, but also a couple big holy crap things too. So
right. I can't say the main thing I want to really say is like this trailer has like some representation. It like is highlighting some representation that Marvel has really been ignoring some people for a long time, and we're finally getting representation in the Marvel universe for people who love Abomination.
Exactly. He finally might be in a good movie, right? I kid.
And I kid obviously too with the representation joke. But yeah, I am so pumped. That is Abomination, right? Do you think it's Abomination,
yes,
right?
We know for sure. So a little backstory on this. We were recording the show that I host on the Stranded Panda Network,
Source Pages.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah.
On Thursday night, myself, Haley Hobbs, and Jeff Randall were recording, and after we got done, we watched the trailer for the first time, the three of us all together. And I had the closed captioning on, and when it came on there, it says Abomination Roars. And we're like, holy crap, it is Abomination, because at first we were like, is it? But it says Abomination Roars in the closed captioning, so that's Abomination confirmed.
Wow, okay, sweet. No, I hadn't noticed that in the closed captioning. Mm-hmm. That's great. That is great. Cool. I can't be more, you know, I love Abomination. I've been saying how much I wanted him back for like a long, long time.
I remember them saying, isn't Tim Roth and Emil Blonsky was already, he was already set to come back in She-Hulk, I believe.
That's
right. They announced
yeah.
he was back for that. So him coming in here. Now, I don't think they'd do that. There are a number of Abominations in comics. I wouldn't think that they would make multiple Abominations for this. I mean, it has to be Emil Blonsky. It has to be the
Tim
Roth
character. Yeah, it's got to be. 100%. I think there's no way that it's not, you know, the Abomination we know. And, like, the thing that's most exciting to me about that, obviously Abomination is incredibly exciting to me because that's a character that I really love. Mm-hmm. I love the actor who plays him. But... like, and we know he's already coming back for She-Hulk. So, and he's good. That's a courtroom series. So my thinking is maybe something happens in this that he has to be in court for, right? Like that kind of makes sense.
Or they're still trying him for the damage he did to Harlem back, you know, 12 years ago, whatever.
Sure, but that's a really long time for him to have not gotten on trial. And you know, maybe that's what it's about. Like it kind of mimics real life if like, the She-Hulk series is about like it's like they threw him in the fridge. It's kind of like Guantanamo. You know, you've got these people who've been waiting to stand trial for like 20 years because because it's like a tricky legal gray area.
It's been hung up in the appellate court. So.
Yeah, exactly. So Emil Blonsky has been like hung up in the appellate courts all this time. Anyway, so. The thing that excites me even more than that, though, is like if those two characters who are from two completely different parts of the universe, if those two characters are in this movie, who else is in this movie?
I can tell you right now, and this is another thing that's been brought up in our chat, and it has to be debunked because most people know that I am a big Fin Fang Foom fan. That was not Fin Fang Foom in the water underwater scene. That was a character called the Great Protector.
Okay.
He is a dragon. He's been in the, I think he was briefly glimpsed in the first trailer, but I know that he's been out there in the promotional side with the toys and the pops and stuff. So he is, it's not Fin Fang Foom. Fin Fang Foom does have a history with the Ten Rings. I believe he was the one that actually brought him to Wenwu or whoever the first Mandarin was or had something to do with that. But that is not him in the movie. He could show up. I hope he does. I'd lose my shit, but that wasn't him in the trailer.
Give me a... See, I know nothing about Fin Fang Foom or any of the dragons of the Marvel Universe. So, like, tell me, give me, like, the one-minute version of, like, what's up with the dragons?
It all depends. This one, it was, you knew that they were going to pull from this that the mythology because Asia and Chinese mythology has a lot of strong dragons in the background in their history. So I think that's what they described. Why with this Great Protector, his name is the Great Protector, which sounds, you know, omnipotent. But I end up thinking from what I'm looking at it is that he could be one of the antagonists in the movie too. So, I can't really get into Fin Fang Foom too much because he is sort of like a weird kid. He's usually a bad guy. He's usually a guy that creates a lot of havoc and stuff like that. They used him in the MODOK series for comic relief, which was funny, but I liked it because he does not get any representation usually because he's such an obscure character.
Right.
But
I know you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of him. Which makes it good. It makes it hard getting merchandise for him because it's very rare, but I have some. I've got a big 18-inch Marvel Legends here and a couple t-shirts. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Well, the thing we mostly do on these breakdown episodes is go frame by frame and try to talk about this trailer and see if there's anything we catch maybe that on just an initial viewing we might not. So I guess let's get into that. And there are a few things that are notable for sure. That I've already like kind of just looking at the trailer closely I've seen, but let's get into it and kind of talk about this thing frame for frame and see what you think. If you are not watching this on YouTube or Twitch, check it out on YouTube. If this episode's out online, it's probably out on YouTube as well. So check it out if you want to see like exactly the frames we're looking at and things like that. So here we go. Let's look at this thing. All right.
Five of the Ten Rings.
Yeah. So the Ten Rings. I always, in comics, they're rings as in,
finger jewelry.
Like finger jewelry. Yeah. Yeah. But
they have had instances where they are actual, like, banglets or bangle, whatever those things are, you know.
Okay.
I would think that those things, if they're not activated, would be hindrances in fighting because they're moving around too much on your hands.
Yeah. I wonder. I assume it could be used for protection. Like, if a sword's coming at you, you could probably use them to block and things.
Yeah.
If you're proficient enough with them, I'm sure they could be an asset and not a detriment, but I see what you're saying for sure. It appears to me that like the Ten Rings in this lore is going to be more like a single thing. Like it seems like they're always working together, at least in the moments we've seen them in the trailer. The way I understand it in the comics is they work as like different rings do different things.
Yeah, like I said, I remember it being almost like a, not quite an Infinity Stone type thing, but each ring has a different power set, which, if we're looking at here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's probably the 10 representations of the 10 rings there.
Yeah, and I'm really curious if we have any Chinese viewers or listeners, do these characters, like, what do these characters mean, I wonder? If anything, or they could be. You know, representations of the, of something. Anyway, yeah, we're looking at a flag waving.
And, looks to be on a battlefield or something.
Yeah. And then the first shot of these rings activating, which looks amazing.
Yeah. It's, I'm never concerned with the CGI usually with, in Marvel, in the MCU films.
Yeah. And this looks really good. And then there's a shot of, I guess the Mandarin. Swinging.
Wenwu.
Is he the Mandarin? It's Wenwu the Mandarin?
Wenwu is Shang-Chi's father, and I believe he is the Mandarin in the movie, correct?
Okay, so Wenwu, throwing, it showed him like slinging them as almost like a melee device, and then throwing them, and like blasting a door open in a castle. It's like, and again, it looks like either ancient times or some other realm. We've discussed that on the cast. Like, you know, it kind of looks like ancient times, ancient, some sort of ancient battle. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. I have learned with MCU altogether to enjoy what you're seeing and try to, you mean, obviously your guys' job is to speculate on stuff, but don't lose your collective minds over it, because then if you're wrong, it's just like, oh my God, I mean, WandaVision taught us anything. It's, you know, temper your expectations. And so with this, it's like, if it's one thing, it's cool. If it's the other thing, it's cool.
Yeah. You know, oh yeah. The thing, not to point any fingers at any two other MCU cast, players, but like, you can speculate all you want, enjoy the speculation and talk about the options and possibilities, but don't get so held on to one theory that you're not enjoying the thing, you know?
Are you talking about Matthew Fox and Jay Scotty?
Yeah. Those are the two regular MCU cast contributors I'm talking about.
talking out of school about some people, huh?
So I'm zooming through the trailer here still, just kind of like there's a moment of him talking to his son, Wenwu talking to his son, Shang-Chi, and he says an interesting line. He's like, "These 10 rings have given our family power for generations. If you want them to be yours, you must learn to show me that you are strong enough to handle them," or whatever. Mm-hmm. Something to that effect. It's interesting. What do you think the character of Shang-Chi, clearly he's resisted being a part of his father's world.
Right. It's almost like one of those mafia type movies where the heir apparent is given the opportunity to take over the family business, so to speak, and mm-hmm. he doesn't want to continue it on that way. I mean, Shang-Chi's always been a benevolent character where he's not following in the footsteps of the criminal organization, pretty much. So yeah. Obviously on this side, they're not going to create a whole movie about someone that ends up going to be the bad guy and is going to, you know, cause havoc, unless there's a big hero turn at the end. But it's almost, he's already shown in the previous trailer is that he's taking time off. They gave him, what, 10 years to find himself? And it seems like he doesn't want to come back.
Yeah. He got his Rumspringa, and he's now resistant to come back. But then he's, you know, clearly there's something's going to bring him back into the story, and it looks like they either are forcing his hand to come back into the story. There's all these shots of him. It's like there's a lot of discussion of him and his father and his mother and how they're both parts of him.
Mm-hmm. But they also do seem to focus on, if you look at that shot there, you've got the mother who is in the traditional garb.
Okay.
With him, and then Katie, who is the Awkwafina character, they look like they're dressed in more Western gear. So that's sort of like his bringing over his current situation over to, you know, them wanting to bring him back into the fold of the tradition of his family.
Yeah.
I see that as being both like the old school and the new school.
Hmm. Yeah. It's really, I'm finding myself already excited to get to know this character. Like watching him fight and stuff looks really fun. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he seems to panic a little more. Like there's the moment where he's falling out of the bus and his feet are kind of kicking under the bus in this trailer. Right. And that made me like, I don't know. It looks like I'm going to be scared for him in moments, which is exciting.
I think in the time that he was away on his 10-year, you know, Rumspringer, for lack of a better word, is that he probably didn't use that time advancing his training as much as he probably could have.
Right.
And so he got kind of rusty.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I think you're probably right. So you mentioned that being his mother. I'm not sure if that's his mother here. I may be wrong, but that lady is the one who a moment ago said, "Your mother," as if she's talking about someone else, I believe. "Your mother is a part of you and your father is a part of you." So I think it's possible. And I think this next shot is a shot of him as a child with his mother. So I'm thinking something happened to his mother. Probably part of the reason he hates his father, or
okay. So Michelle Yeoh's not his mother then. Okay,
I'm not 100%. I think this is his mother, I believe.
It could be a younger version of her too, because that's obviously a younger version of Shang-Chi.
That's true. That's true. That is possible. Yeah, I think Michelle Yeoh in that first moment says, "Your mother is a part of you, just like your father," which she could be talking in the third person. That's also an option.
That's true.
So funny trying to break these trailers down, talk about all the little things. So then we get a shot of a bunch of people training at a Ten Rings facility. There's Ten Rings symbols all over the walls. Ten Rings, a big Ten Ring symbol on the floor. Kurt, very cool looking. Like, I want to know things like, how are these guys going to interact with, like, the Eternals, you know? Are we going to get some sort of crossover when they're telling all the history of this part of the world? Are they going to have some Eternals crossovers here or there? I don't know.
You would think that it could be a possible end credit or mid-credit scene, since that'll be the movie that comes out after this.
Yeah. Yeah,
this takes place over a certain amount of time, and we obviously think that the Eternals may have been gone for a period of time, or had their minds, you know, they didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't stop Thanos, or maybe that's, you know, that's a whole different podcast. But you know, I definitely love to see how they're all going to, you know, when you bring in more of these people and more of these franchise or more of these titles into the franchise, how they mix with each other.
Yeah, especially as they, like, reach into the past, or, like, mm-hmm. the traditions of the past with Shang-Chi and Eternals. Like, how did they interact with the MCU's past? That's kind of cool and interesting stuff. I really love this shot. It's very effective in the trailer, where it shows one of Wenwu's men trying to stab a young Shang-Chi, and then it cuts to, looks like the same man trying to stab him in the future, and Shang-Chi blocking it the same way. And it's like his realization that he's fighting the same man.
Yeah, they're called that's the Death Dealer.
Death Dealer. All right.
Yeah. That's one of the hardest things to find on the in the merchandising, because it just seems like that's the one that's a little bit different than everything else. Him and the Great Protector products out there go quick, and the rest of the characters they're actually moving pretty good from what I see, so it's good to see.
Yeah, yeah. This is the kind of shot where I get to and I'm immediately like, oh my gosh, there's too much going on. There could be all kinds of Easter eggs in here. Let's look. Right. It's the party atmosphere. This must be later. So, like, we've seen this later in the trailer. We see the shot where Abomination and is it Wong? Do we know that it's Wong?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm seeing on the internet, everybody's saying it's Wong, but we'll watch it freeze frame in a minute, and you can tell me if you think it's Wong.
It does say, yeah, I know Benedict Wong is in the movie.
Oh, is he? Okay. See, yeah. I wasn't even sure of that. So that makes sense. Okay. It looks like him, but, like, you never really can see his face in this trailer. So right. I wasn't sure if it was just, like, another character that looked similar to him. This is, though, there's, like, a strike team attacking the tournament. At least I'm assuming that's what this is the tournament that we're expecting in this movie.
Right.
I guess that could be the strike team that's coming for Shang-Chi. And then there's all this really great fight stuff.
Yeah, the scaffolding fight stuff looks really cool.
Yeah, I that scene is going to be incredible.
Just because it gives you that sense of, not only is it they're fighting there, but, man, one slip and you're pretty much dead. You're falling.
The precision.
They can't fly that we know of. Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows the precision of the character, and all the characters, really. And then you see a really great shot of Shang-Chi falling a long way and then just landing on his chest and just barely surviving this. And I love the, just looking down. It's really cool shot. And then his father saying, "I told my men if they tried to kill you, they wouldn't be able to." So he, like, had faith that his son would be able to weather that trial, as it were. But, like, Shang-Chi does not look too happy about the fact that he's saying that.
Right.
I'm not seeing a lot in the way of, like, there's all these shots that have a lot going on, and I want to look at them for Easter eggs, but I'm not seeing a lot, really. So I'm guessing this is his father, Wenwu, earlier in life, and that's a young Shang-Chi, and he's watching his dad, like, be a criminal, basically, looks like, which he says, you know, he's talking about his dad in the scene, talking to Awkwafina, saying, you know, he's He's just a criminal. He's a powerful man, but he's just a criminal. He uses his power to commit crimes. And I'm thinking we're going to get a little more on the backstory of that. Like,
oh yeah,
that Winwu will have a more complicated history than just being a criminal. You know,
right? Because you know that he is that legend of the Mandarin is something that's already out there, as we saw in Iron Man 3. So if this is the actual guy that was, you know, I know that the Trevor Slattery character made it a caricature in a sense, but there still was that side of the Mandarin that struck fear into people. So now that we see what he can do, I mean, hell, when you showed the first scene with the five rings and he used it as a melee weapon to take out a door, and then in that one scene he used it at close range to hit a person, that guy probably exploded. Just, I mean, that went through him and just like disintegrated him,
right?
It's like, whoo, that's why they don't show it on scene, man. It's just,
yeah, MC, yeah, yeah,
don't show the death on scene like that, because that would just be like way too, there's the R rating right there.
And then we get a shot of Shang-Chi watching Michelle Yeoh's character leaf bending.
that's sort of probably like an airbending type thing there.
Yeah, totally,
because it's not moving the ground, so it's not earth bending.
Do you think that, yeah, it's just a joke. It's just leaf bending. Then there's a shot of a bus running over a very fancy car. What do you think the odds are that fancy car is one that Shang-Chi parked?
Probably pretty good.
Right?
Or someone important parked it there.
Exactly. Like, I could totally see, like, some jerk or something, like, giving the keys to Shang-Chi parking the car. And then, like, that happening to the car later.
Well, if you look at it, too, in that scene, the curb is parked, or the curb is painted yellow, and that usually means, I think, that you're not supposed to park there.
Yeah, most of the time.
So I could actually see, you know, what's funny is that all of a sudden, after that scene, Tony Stark comes walking out, like, what the hell? Like,
oh, man, what a great cameo that would be. Like, if this is happening a few years earlier or something.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, this is not, if it's current date, then that'd be kind of creepy.
Look at that. Oh, man. Look how close this comes. Was it Razor Fist? Is that his name?
Taser Face. No, it is... crap. Razor Fist.
Ah, I thought so.
And I was like you. I thought that was What's-His-Face from...
The Expanse.
He
looks a lot like him in that first trailer. But then when I really slowed it down, I was like, oh, maybe not.
No, but he does strike. I mean, they could be, you know, they could play brothers in a movie together or something.
Oh, for sure. Shang-Chi back with his life, with his friends, and him and Awkwafina are just close.
It seems like those are like shots I think they used in the first trailer, too, with them sitting around the table.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Man, so they're going to just have this crazy, like, out of, you know, what's the fish out of water story, you know? With the two of these people, especially with Awkwafina, you know, I feel she's going to really be the eyes of the audience through this movie. I really thought that was the guy from The Expanse that was just beefed up.
I mean, he's pretty beefy on The Expanse too, but probably he got the Marvel treatment and got right there. You could tell it's not him. He doesn't have the same eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
But he has the same haircut, same style, same build.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a hand instead of a. That's a freaking cool ass attachment.
Yeah. Dude, like watching, I love being able to watch this stuff frame for frame, and you just get to appreciate like how good at this stuff Marvel is, you know?
Right.
Oh, we get to see a lion dog. I forgot what their, names are.
They're called like the spirit lions or something.
Oh, look at this. This is big actually. This shot. I hadn't seen it slow-mo like this. We've talked about this other realm or ancient times, and whether it's other realm or ancient times, looks like it's going to be other realm, because you see what I'm seeing. You see these modern day soldiers fighting, you know, like ancient creatures and ancient people with ancient weaponry.
If I could get a little bit spoilery with what I know from the merchandising, there is a...
Don't do too merchandisey. Careful. I don't know.
Well,
sometimes merchandise is crazy.
It's out there in the store. You can see it. It's for sale right now. So
right. Sometimes they do stupid things. But go ahead. Just a spoiler alert, everybody, for merchandise spoilers. Go ahead.
There is a Target exclusive Marvel Legends where Katie, the Awkwafina character, is dressed in that red garb.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's not too bad.
So, I mean, for her being a modern-day person. So
yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So this could be a modern-day thing with them fighting in some kind of like medieval setting, because there is still sort of that setting in modern day Asia where they have like the torii designs and the roofs like that.
Sure, so. Sure. It's just some of those battles seemed like they were definitely going to be ancient, and now
and it could be somewhere in the past, somewhere in the present.
Yeah.
This is definitely a present one.
Looking at this, though, like, it makes me think that maybe none of it's in the distant past. Maybe it's all in modern times. But I don't know. Could be either way. Could be either way, for sure.
That's true.
All right. Well, so we see... So, this shot, we finally get the same shot we saw in the last trailer. There was some debate among us about... he's fighting his sister. We're back in the sort of fight club. Really cool shot of Wenwu getting the rings on his arms, them like flying to him, similar to how Iron Man is.
Right. And then here's him underwater with the Great Protector.
Yeah.
Not Fin Fang Foom.
Seeing a dragon for the first time. It's really cool.
Yeah, see, that's definitely current time, because that's Wenwu there fighting in that setting.
Yeah, or Shang-Chi, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Is that Shang-Chi or is that one? Okay, sorry. It was
It's Shang-Chi. Yeah.
Okay, that is Shang-Chi. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is current day then, or current time.
Yeah, there's another shot in the first trailer where it showed Wenwu and Shang-Chi fighting in like a temple similar to that. So I'm assuming this is probably a similar area of the movie.
And that was the Harry versus Voldemort shot right there.
With them, 100%, 100%.
There's certain powers each, negating itself, or either that, or like the Kylo and
Rey.
Rey, I couldn't think of her name. Freaking Beast, I'm losing my Star Wars. The Kylo and Rey scene in Last Jedi, where they're both grabbing each other, and there's the Force pull between them. So. It's a really cool shot, though.
Yeah, it is. And it looks like they're actually like fighting over the Ten Rings. So what do you think this tournament's all about? Do we know anything about the tournament?
Not at all. I mean, it could be the final thing that is in, his end of the Rumspringer, I guess, to come back, because it's obviously in the current time, so... And yeah, you could totally tell right there that's Abomination.
Yes. Yeah. He has like some gills though, like some little flaps on his face that look almost like gills. And I looked back at Abomination. He doesn't have those that I see. You see what I'm saying? Those things on his cheek.
Yeah. They could have,
they could have experimented on him. He's been gone 12 years, but like that could be armor. I don't even know, but like it looks a little different, but close enough. And if it's in the trailers then, or whatever, in the,
yeah, that's definitely the shot before the first shot you saw. Definitely looked like Wong, and then it also looks like there he's doing the
he's definitely doing the same magics that Wong does for sure. And like, if he's in this movie, I have no doubt that that's him. I just didn't know he was in this movie, I they never actually show his face really. It looks like him. Like, he's too blurry here. Even looking frame for frame, you can't really tell if that's Wong or not to me.
If not, it's definitely
a wizard.
A wizard, yeah.
One of the big three, yeah.
Like my shirt.
I like your shirt a lot, man. That's a great shirt. There's also something in this shot there's been much debate about. So there's that star with the circle in the background, and we watched the first trailer. There was debate about whether it was
Cap Shield or
the Madripoor flag.
Madripoor, yeah.
Which in this, I still don't know for sure. Like there it is.
That looks a little more red.
It does. It definitely looks more red. But the Madripoor flag has three stars, or no, it has a little lion on it. Oh, and this does not. So
that looks more like Red Guardian now.
Oh, interesting.
Add a third character to the mix. Guardian, Madripoor, Captain America. Marvel likes us talking about stuff, the littlest things, because they know how how like every little Easter egg minute thing that's there. It's like, oh my God, those chains that are hanging right there look like they could have been forged in blah, blah, blah. It's just the things but it sets their attention to detail, which keeps us talking, between things. It's the most minute things.
Yeah. Well, that's and that's why I really appreciate you coming on today and doing this episode with me, because we really have we've had people writing in to us asking us to please jump in here and do an episode on the Shang-Chi trailer. But we were busy this weekend. None of us could get together. So thanks for hopping on, BBK. And that's the whole trailer. Any final thoughts?
I'm just psyched. It's, you know, there's so much, there's so much good stuff coming, which is good because that helps, gives me material for the podcast I've got on the network now. So
true. Sweet, man. Well, thanks for being on, and we'll be back, man. We're gonna be back tomorrow with another episode. We've got have our Loki feedback episode. The next, we were looking at a calendar earlier, and the next like 3 weeks are just insane for Marvel stuff.
Yep.
Because we've got obviously Loki continuing on, and then in 2 weeks Black Widow coming. So it's gonna be great. It's gonna be really exciting.
That's like 10 days from now almost.
It's crazy. That's
ridiculous.
Crazy. Very
Marvel
exciting.
Movie.
Woo!
Yes.
First one in like 2 years? Has it been 2 years?
Yeah, July of 2019 was when Far From Home came out.
Wow. 2 years, guys.
Yep.
Crazy. Well, thanks for being on, BVK. Let them know. Tell them more about Source Pages.
Source Pages is a podcast that we have in the network where we take novels and comics as primers or continuations or source materials for movies and TV shows. And we just recorded our first episode. It's out there on Apple and Google and Spotify and everything, where myself and Haley Hobbs, who is with me on the show, are joined by Jeff Randall. And we talk about Black Widow, Deadly Origin, and the Prelude comics as sort of a primer to get us ready for the movie. I mean, we already know Nat's character, but it gives us a little bit more of her backstory that we haven't seen yet, and where it could go and what they could use. And it's just a lot of fun. So check us out. It's the Source Pages, on all the places where you can find podcasts.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited about that show being on the network. Like, it's just such a cool companion to everything we already do, and a chance for everybody to go check out some of the source material. So please check out Source Pages, go subscribe, go throw them a 5-star review on iTunes, because that's like the best way you can help a brand new podcast. If we can get them like 50 or 60 new reviews. Also, we'll do a shirt giveaway this week. If you go do a review on their iTunes, and we'll do a random number generator and pick a review and throw out a Stranded Panda shirt or a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast shirt or whatever, whatever you like.
Thanks so much. Sounds cool.
Of course,
yeah,
man.
We've got like 14 already, so.
Dude, that is awesome.
It's been like 4 days since we launched our episode zero, and it's just been overwhelmingly positive. It's just a fun time, and it's just reassuring that people are out there liking new content, and it's just the perfect place. The network is so great, and the all the pandas.
That's
to quote the term, it's embarrassing, but it's so fun.
That's amazing, because I don't think we've asked for reviews, at least here on this show. I'm sure you did over there, hopefully, but like, that's amazing. 14 reviews on the first week is huge. And that's just a credit to the community here on Stranded Panda. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being part of it. And we'll be back soon with more content tomorrow with Loki feedback. All right. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.